get your fucking hands up. Get on out of your seats. All eyes on me, all eyes on me. Get your fucking hands up. Get on out of your seats. All eyes on me, all eyes on me. Are you feeling nervous? Are you having fun? It's almost over. It's just begun. Don't overthink this. Look in my eye. Don't be scared. Don't be shy. Come on in. The water's fine. We're going to go.
Oh, I did not know this was Bo Burnham. I've heard this on like TikTok or whatever.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Oh my God, fun. Genius.
That is Bo Burnham. Thank you, sir. For Inside. I mean, it's just one of those things that you watch and you're like, I thought I was talented and I'm wrong.
He's absolutely one of those performers. I remember the first time I saw him, I was like, oh my God, like this man. And he was like, the first special he did, he was like 22 or something stupid.
No, he's,
you're like, oh, okay.
Gotta be like a legitimate genius. You know, it's some things you watch and it's just like, oh, that person's not like the rest of us. So thank you for that gift, and I hope also that you're okay, because Inside, as much as I love it, also makes me worry a lot about Bo Burnham in that way that you worry about geniuses. You know, geniuses are often very tortured and feel very alone and all this other stuff. So while we benefit from his gifts, I hope he's okay and surrounded by love and feels loved. And with that, welcome you guys to the Blackboard Collective presents Justice and Juice. Y'all are getting better. Y'all are getting better at that. Well, last week's was better because we weren't missing a piece last week, and we are this.
It was
week,
a three part harmony last week.
I know. Yeah, I really do want to give us like set notes, like set actual notes that we sing every single time, and then it's like a nice harmony. That's my goal for 2022.
Paige, you can give that to Alaska. I will not know. I don't know what a note is. I know they exist. I've heard that they're.
You heard of this note?
You can do
but
it.
There's no way. Unless you hit, you know, maybe you can do like a little before the show.
Do a little pitch pipe.
Yeah, and I can hear it and then recite it like 100 times.
Yeah.
And then
I can do that. Done.
Yeah.
Done and done, sir.
I think you should. And we should do the harmony for special episodes for like birthday weeks. That's when actually hit the harmony.
I love that idea.
Speaking of a birthday week, it's Laska's partner's birthday week this week. And she's also, what do you call people when they just got engaged? They're not newlyweds. They're newly engaged.
They are newly engaged. They are fiancés now.
Yeah,
fiancés.
A fiancé. A fiancé.
Yes. So, a fiancé. Yay. So congrats to them, Laska. We love you. Yes. We miss you. But we're so happy that you're like out celebrating your life today.
Yes.
Because you
live that life, girl. Get in there.
Yeah, I think next episode, we have to get the full rundown from her. Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Next episode is just a moment by moment, step by step, what happened.
Good.
Absolutely. Okay, I also need us to then block out like 2 hours to record so that we can have unrecorded details as well.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I want the
unauthorized.
Whole moment. The unauthorized, exactly.
Unauthorized, uncut. Yes, I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So, Laska, prepare yourself for that. I hope you're listening and you're prepared. Don't forget a detail.
Write it down.
I know. We miss you, but we're so happy for you. I am supposed to tell you, did I say who I am? I'm Casey.
No.
And I am drinking a very large coffee out of my very wonderful Nespresso from my very favorite mug. I got a new mug. B. Barbarina bought me this cute mug.
It's kind of blurry for us.
Gosh. Oh, it's a little beanie. It's a beanie with a K on it.
Oh, with a K. So cute.
That's adorable.
Yeah, and it's got all these cute little details on it, too. It's just a beautiful mug.
I love that. Of course, B. B would definitely get just the cutest little gift.
It's very cute and it's very comforting and it's giant. Like you can't tell how big it is, but it's amazing. So I'm drinking coffee out of my very special mug, and then I'm drinking a Huel protein shake.
What is that?
It's just a nutritionally complete, I'm saying that with air quotes, that's what they claim. And it's just a drink that I drink when I don't feel like making breakfast.
That's fair. Yeah.
Or, you know, or even making my own protein shake. You know, it's just like, I just need to grab something. So yes. Huel is my that. And then I'm drinking a vat of water.
It sounds like you're saying Jewel, but like saying it silly. Huel.
No, Huel, like human fuel. It's the human fuel drink.
It just makes
get your Huel here, see? I don't know. I don't know why I turned.
Hey, you kid, get your Huel.
I don't know why that was your
move on from dialect. Me.
I will never move on from you.
Please.
And this seals that deal.
Please.
What's up, everybody? Yes. It's Paige. I am just drinking water right now. We're doing this a little, it's like very early for the West Coasters. But it's like noonish over here for me, and or I guess it's like almost one now. But I came to my sister's office building today to do the pod because my house is typically a little loud around like 12 or 12:30. Everyone's just kind of moving. And so I am in like a weird alone office. So I just have water, just drinking water.
No Huel?
I actually almost – I know Huel today, unfortunately. I almost went downstairs and got a coffee when the Wiz was making a coffee, but I didn't trust myself to be able to do it in like 5 minutes because I didn't know. Yeah.
I don't like that at all. Coffee is a priority.
Yeah, I was going to say – he made us, he wouldn't even send us a link until he finished his coffee. I think you could.
I know. I didn't want to be super late. I woke up this morning at 6:30 for God only knows what reason. And I've been awake for so long. I don't even know what to do with myself.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, okay, cool. But I've gotten so much stuff done. I feel very productive. Like I had breakfast before 5 a.m. for you guys.
Oh my God.
Which is.
Well, Paige, awesome. You look great. Your hair looks.
You do look
fire.
Great.
You.
Your backdrop you. Is perfect for this. Your mic sounds amazing. So something is working for you. Maybe these
thank
early
you.
Mornings, they could be your new thing. Just saying.
They
it's
are.
Possible.
They are. I know. Kaylee, it's in the works. Kaylee and I planned it. I also did get my hair done yesterday and, it's red again, which is really fun.
It's like very red. It's like firecracker red. I love it.
Yes. Yes. So I missed being a redhead. I always forget how much I like being a redhead until I'm a redhead again. So here she is.
What's your natural hair color? Like what would you naturally be if you screw out everything to the
– it's like a brown, like a very light brown dishwater blonde kind of moment. I haven't had my natural hair color since I was like – 15, so it could be something different now. It could have like darkened or something, but who knows? And we're never gonna find out.
Because okay. You naturally,
I'll be dyeing my hair for forever.
When you have the red hair, it looks natural on you. Like it
does.
Feels like you could have this make maybe more auburn. I mean, you know, is that the right word? Auburn?
Yeah.
Is that a color?
Yeah.
Is that
yes.
kind of red?
Wow.
More
yeah.
red than brown.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's like you've always been that. So like, if you were blonde or if you were whatever, like you were always like you were more auburn, but maybe.
Yeah,
that's just you.
Here
just
she is.
Owned.
I can't figure out my hair headphone Thanks, ratio guys. Today, you guys. So if you can hear this,
movement, oh no,
I apologize. Just like where
the
does
hair
my hair
ratio?
Go?
It's important. It's anyway. An important moment. Wiz, what are you? So we've established you're drinking some coffee.
Yep, I'm drinking my fourth cup of coffee. It's
iconic
here in
fourth. Like, is that what you just said? Four.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a lot of coffee.
But I do, but we yeah. do, but my coffee is 6 ounces per. So it's not a crazy amount.
Oh, okay.
It's not like it's 12 ounces. Oh. It's not like it's a tall or a grande.
I do 12 ounces every time. I do the maximum amount every time.
Wait, what? You pointed at something. What is it?
Keurig.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So these are all espresso pours. So these are still probably really dang strong. It's like a 6 ounce, like Americano, basically. So it's probably still pretty.
Yeah, it is. I've had your coffees and I could not drink four of them.
Well, I shouldn't drink four of them. But what's up, everybody? It's Zach, aka The Wiz, and excited to be here with y'all.
Woo! Yay, Wiz! Woo, woo, woo. So you're just drinking coffee? Do you even have water?
No, that's why my voice sounds so much like
oh
this.
My gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I feel like my voice is still in morning mode too. It's going between being like deep and nasally. It's gross.
That's okay.
That's what we're giving people today.
I think it sounds great. I think it sounds great.
Thank you.
I think both of you sound great.
Thanks.
Thank you, Paige.
So there.
Do you have a black business to tell us about?
Do I? Yes, I do. That was
tell us, Paige.
All right, everybody. The Black Business that we are featuring this month on the Blackboard Collective website is Nobody Jones Boutique. Nobody Jones Boutique is an LA-based boutique that sells ready-to-wear contemporary clothing at affordable prices without compromising great quality. They specialize in jersey dresses, separates, and jumpsuits designed by owner Odessa B. Their address is 5593 West Pico Boulevard in Los Angeles, and you can follow them on Instagram at Nobody Jones Boutique. And you can also head over to the blackboardcollective.com. That's blkboardcollective.com. Scroll down a little bit and hit that green learn more button, and it'll take you right to their website. So yeah, Nobody Jones.
Oh my gosh. And you guys, it's so cute. The clothes in the boutique are very, very, very cute. So
I want to go. I've never heard of them.
Yeah, I hadn't either until we found them for this. And then I looked and I was pleased. I was well pleased. And so, Paige, you had a thing that you wanted to talk with us about.
I do. Yeah. Hang on a second. I'm sorry. I'm texting Jenny because there's a typo on the website. I'll forget.
Shout out to Jenny Hoffman.
Shout out to Jenny Hoffman for everything.
Literally.
Yeah. So this last Monday was Martin Luther King Jr. Day, as everybody knows. Mm-hmm. And okay, now I'm back and we're here. Okay, so I was just very taken aback by all of the I was just kind of struck with the differences of how Martin Luther King Jr. was portrayed to me as when I was growing up, and the quotes that were always used and the things that were said and what was told about him. And now he's getting like the real light that he, like the truthful things that he said, right? Like instead of just like the content of your character, he'll say, like people are quoting that he was a, you know, anti-war, like a Vietnam, anti-Vietnam protester, and he was for union rights and labor rights and all of these things, and things that all of the conservatives who quoted him on Monday really just could not care any less about. So if you are all familiar with Nicole Hannah Jones, she is a she's the writer for the 1619 Project. And she had a thread of tweets. And so I'm sorry that this podcast might be a lot of just my voice. But I wanted to read them to you because I thought that it was really interesting. So she is Ida Bay Wells on Twitter. Her handle is at N Hannah Jones. And she has been kind of crucified by the far right press, and has been kind of at the center of this whole like critical race theory debate. Yes, Wiz.
She's even been crucified by the center left.
Yeah, she's been crucified by quite a few people.
Wait, why the center left?
Good point.
Because people won't actually read or listen to the things that she's actually saying or doing. It's much easier to get to kind of be not tricked, but it's easier just to headline yourself into a tizzy than actually like pay attention to the depth in which someone is discussing stuff. And the 1619 Project, I think, is a podcast and written material, right? It's both.
Yes.
Yep. I've listened to the podcast. It was wonderful.
The podcast is great.
Not controversial at all, in my opinion. I was shocked at how not controversial it was.
Yeah, I remember you guys saying that. I still haven't listened to it. I need to.
But I said the center left because it's like the center left is afraid that things like CRT is ruining. Well, things like CRT, aka left wing, progressive, leftist, whatever you want to call, is hurting the party on a grander scale, right? With maybe independent voters. But they don't pay attention necessarily to the actual content of the information. But yes. The headlines are scary because it works for some people. The headlines work in convincing people that something is bad when the headline is misleading to what it is.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. And it really is. I mean, if you haven't had the chance to go listen to the 1619 Project, there is also a written kind of like supplement with it as well. But the podcast is, it's really wonderfully done. And I was actually also, Zach, very shocked that it has garnered like so much weird backlash, because it's just, I mean, it's the stories of what happened. Like it's crazy. So, all right. So this is kind of long, like I said, and feel free to just flag me down at any moment. I might skip over a few just
for time. Do your favorite parts, do the highlights. We trust you.
So, all right. So this is the beginning of the tweet. She said, I was invited to give an MLK speech today, and a small number of members of the group hosting me wrote and then leaked emails opposing my giving this speech, as it dishonored Dr. King for me to do so. They called me a discredited activist, unworthy of such association with King. So I scrapped my original speech and spent the entire first half of it reading excerpts from a bunch of Dr. King's speeches, but without telling anyone that I was doing so, leading the audience to think that King's words were mine. And whoo, child, it was amazing. Here is some of it. It was in the year 1619 that the first black slave was brought to the shores of this nation. They were brought here from the soils of Africa, and unlike the Pilgrim Fathers who landed here at Plymouth a year later, they were brought here against their will. Wherever you see black in caps, so this is all on Twitter, of course, wherever you see black in caps, it's because I subbed out Negro to not give it away. For more than 200 years, Africa was raped and plundered, a native kingdom disorganized, the people and rulers demoralized, and throughout slavery, the black slaves were treated in a very inhuman form. The problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power, a nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. The crowning achievement in hypocrisy must go to those staunch Republicans and Democrats of the Midwest and West who were given land by our government when they came here as immigrants from Europe. They were given education through the land-grant colleges. These are the same people that now say to black people whose ancestors were brought to this country in chains and who were emancipated in 1863 without being given land to cultivate or bread to eat, that they must pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. We're going to move down a little bit.
All of this is MLK's words.
Yep.
And I missed the part of how I thought she was not allowed to give the speech, but no, she still gave it, even though there was pushback, but she still gave it. And here's how she, okay.
Yes. So her whole idea was like, I am this discredited activist because I, you know, have been in the middle of the critical race theory debate. So on Martin Luther King Day, I am just going to quote Martin Luther King at these people and then have them think that it's me and then
see how they respond.
Da, da, da. Yeah. So I'll read a couple more of the quotes and then I'll go through and we can talk about it. So where'd we go? Okay. This one's kind of long, but I think this is important. Ever since the birth of our nation, white America has had a schizophrenic personality on the question of race. She has been torn between selves, a self in which she proudly professes the great principle of democracy and a self in which she madly practices the antithesis of democracy. The fact is, there has never been a single solid, determined commitment on the part of the vast majority of white Americans to genuine equality for black people. The step backwards has a new name today. It is called the white backlash. But the white backlash is nothing new. It is surfacing of old prejudices, hostilities, and ambivalences that have always been there. The white backlash of today is rooted in the same problem that has characterized America ever since the black man landed in chains on the shores of this nation. She said, so she goes on to then say, "Oh, the uncomfortable silence as I read Dr. King's words at a commemoration of Dr. King's life when people had no idea that these were his words. When I revealed that everything I said to that point was taken from his speeches between 56 and 67, can you say shook? Then I read all the names that white Americans called King, charlatan, demagogue, communist, traitor, and brought out the polling showing more than 3/4 of Americans opposed King at his death, while 94% approve of him now. I left them with this. People who oppose today what he stood for back then do not get to be the arbitrators of his legacy. The real Dr. King cannot be commodified, homogenized, and whitewashed, and whatever side you stand on today is the side you would have been on back then."
Mm. Yes.
So I highly recommend, like, I didn't even, that is not all of it. That's just little snippets. I have, like, chills all over my body. I highly recommend, if you have a Twitter, if you don't have a Twitter, go find this thread of tweets, because it is, it's really fascinating. And also go read Dr. King's speeches, because they're not all just "I have a single dream." He was outspoken about so many other things, so many things that we're still fighting for today. And he is used as this, like, peaceful character who operates through this lens of nonviolence, when that was just the smallest part of what his platform was. That's my, I like saw that and I was like, I want to read that on the podcast.
Yeah, no, that's incredible.
Bananas.
Yeah, it's a lot easier when people pass away to look back and be like, oh, he was this beacon of everything. But I mean, he was assassinated, you know, like that. Yeah. It's not like he had a lot of huge white fans at the time. So it is really interesting now when you see, anytime somebody, especially conservative, quotes Dr. Martin Luther King, I'm like, really? Like, this is not, you would not have liked him if he were alive today. Yeah. You would be staunchly against almost everything he stood for.
Yes. So, yep. Yeah. And also too, I mean, and that kind of, this like flows right into the voting legislation that we've kind of been, you know, seeing in the news lately, and the vote and stuff that went down, or the non-vote, I guess.
Yeah. But, tell me about that. I don't know what's happening, but.
So, well, they're not going to kill the filibuster rule. So there has to be 60 votes, and there's never going to be 60 votes. So we can't do anything about voting rights.
10 years ago, it was like 98 votes to zero the Voting Rights Act. And now we can't even get a single Republican on board.
Not a single Republican. And we have two Democrats, Manchin and fucking Sinema.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And they won't vote for it. And Sinema will not get elected again. I can almost guarantee you. As long as people like, you
know, as a Democrat.
Yeah, she won't get elected again as a Democrat.
She will be a VP candidate. She's working her way into a VP candidacy for a Republican, guaranteed. Watch her run with DeSantis. I promise to God.
Gross. Oh my God.
Otherwise,
can you imagine what?
Otherwise, what is she doing?
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know what she's doing. But
doesn't that make sense to you?
Yeah, no, it really does, actually. The right loves her.
Of course they do.
It's crazy. Yeah, she's the roadblock to everything that's trying to get done.
She's a sensible Democrat, according to them. That's what they would say. Oh, a sensible Democrat.
That's disgusting.
It's the most ridiculous.
That's what they'll say. I mean, so I was telling you. That's what. Look at all the Tulsi Gabbard and all those people.
Oh yeah.
You know.
I will say that it has been really cool to watch all of the speeches that, like, everyone should stop what they're doing right now. Like, listeners, stop what you're doing right now and go watch Senator Raphael Warnock's speech on the floor last night. I saw a tweet that said he is so good at this that everyone else should just go home. Like, he is so good at speaking and talking and listening to, like, the way he strings words together. You're just like, you're a genius. Like, oh, my God. Raphael Warnock's speech is amazing. Amy Klobuchar's speech is amazing. Amy Klobuchar ran a misguided reporter through the mud. And like, you can just tell that, I mean, people are getting really pissed off. I just like, it's just anger now, because there's only a few things. The only thing that we can do is now get other people elected in those seats. And there are, I think there's 32 seats up for grabs in 2022. I think that's right. Don't quote me on that number, but it's about to be organizing time, babies.
Yeah. I mean, it is already, I'm sure. Like, yeah. It sounds, man.
Yeah. John Ossoff also.
I want to go back a little bit to some of the kind of combining MLK with CRT stuff.
Yeah.
I want to use an example of Germany post-World War II. Basically, the Germans were like, okay, we majorly messed up. Hitler, bad. Nazis, bad. they banned swastikas. They banned Nazi paraphernalia. It wasn't allowed to be shown, displayed, whatever. And they teach their history. They teach it. And they're okay with it being taught to their kids, to say, this is what we did. This is, and they use the word we, like we as a country. It's Germany elected this. Germans did this. Forgive us, world. And they did. The world did, because Germany took it on the fucking nose, and they will always be apologizing in some ways for it, right? Mm-hmm. But they realize they have to confront it. Meanwhile, we're still allowing, and it's fine by me, kind of. I mean, I don't know if I want to ban shit all the time, right? But like, we are allowing the Confederate flag to be flown. We allow swastikas to be shown. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, these aren't like banned symbols. Now, people will remove swastikas from storefronts if they're painted there, right? But like, and yes, it's a hate symbol, and maybe there's a crime connected to it. But like, let's be honest, right? It's not, doesn't have the same, we are more tolerant of hate in America because we have a political party and people who don't understand that their intolerance is hate. And it when you talk about people like, you know, major icons of history, like Martin Luther King Jr., and even a person as iconic, right? A major person like Adolf Hitler, right? You have these are people forever. They will be talked about forever. Martin Luther King Jr. we talked about forever, hopefully, right? But it's very interesting that these quotes that are being used, like Paige was saying, have ellipses where it's content of character, dot, 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 then something else. And in the middle, it's something that goes against the ethos of somebody, like equality or unions or anti-war, right? And they'll go, oh, let's get rid of that stuff and then go to this next part, because in their minds, and usually this is white Americans' minds, is they don't have the desire to critically look at themselves as a privileged group, as it's like, it's hard for some people to recognize that there is an imbalance.
I'm sure that this is some people's problems, but I don't know that there is an inability to recognize the imbalance. I think that some of them see the imbalance and feel like it's correct. I think in a lot of ways, the reason why somewhere like Germany and their treatment of Nazis and the Holocaust and all of that is being able to look at something and genuinely acknowledge and being on one accord, at least in your government, to say this was wrong. And we never want to do this again. That's where we've never been able to get. Nobody has ever been on one accord. And it's since the Civil War to be like, you guys, this is wrong. This was wrong. We never got there. One side lost and the other side won, not by a giant margin, at least not giant enough, because that side has still been growing and perpetuating their beliefs ever since then. You can't root out something that half the country never wanted rooted out in the first place. And so that's why I feel like we don't get to this place where we where they want it taught in our schools that it's wrong and that this is what we did and should be accountable for, because they don't think it was wrong. So, and until they do, which I'm not holding my breath, I don't think that we will ever get to a place where critical race theory is taught with open arms, you know, like I'm hoping that we can still get it in there, but it's going to be a fight. We're going to be arm wrestling the whole time. You know, I don't think that it's ever just going to be like a, you know what, you're right. Let's all come to the table and apartheid this thing and like talk it out and figure it, you know, like it's mm-hmm. just not gonna, I don't see it for us. We can't get on the
page. Yeah. Well, and that's just because also too, like historically, that's never how it's been. Ever, like in any, on any issue, there's always some naysayer, some person that is getting paid by gun lobbyists or like currently right now, you were watching Dope Sick, right? You watched mm-hmm. Dope Sick.
Yeah, I did.
So I watched like the documentary version of Dope Sick. It's called The Crime of the Century. It's on HBO. It's nutty.
Yeah.
But there was legislation going through courts. That was saying that like that was essentially funded by the drug companies, and the politicians were making it seem like these new amendments to the parts of the law that they were trying to get through.
Bills. No, not bills.
Yeah, no. It's like, I think just section. I don't know. I read a lot right now and my brain has a lot of words in it.
That's currently. Your brain's great. Who knows? Your brain's doing great.
Thank you. Thank you so much. but so these politicians were being funded by pharmacy companies and like big pharma, right? And they were pushing for these laws that they made it seem like these people who were in so much pain were going to now be able to get the drugs that they needed because nobody should be in pain and da 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 da. And then they're completely ignoring the fact that we have had recently one of the highest like drug overdose death years in recent history. Like,
yeah.
So they completely push that away. It's the same thing that they do with Martin Luther King. It's the same thing. But there are things that you just feel like everyone should be on board. Nobody yeah. should be prescribed an amount of pills that could kill them if they overdose, right? Nobody should be prescribed that by a doctor.
Yeah.
Or just weird pain management things. I'm going to sneeze, but maybe it's like coming.
I also don't think people should be prescribed a drug. I mean, the crazy thing about like Oxycontin is that it literally changed your brain chemistry to where you felt more normal. You felt crazy off the drug and felt healthy
yes.
on the drug.
Yes.
And that yes. is not something that a doctor should be prescribing you.
No, absolutely.
And that was a known feature. Not
oh yeah
right
that was like right. that's a purposeful feature.
They were like, we love that, we yeah. love that
energy. No, that's great,
that's a good that's thing good. about our thing, and they lied about it and have continued to lie about it, and
the government, like, they lie, what are you talking about?
Well, the government, the drug companies,
the drug companies lying, never. are we wrong? But like you, like there are just so many things. There's been so many times in my life where I've been like, this is going to be the one thing that everyone's going to be able to agree upon. School shootings, kids dying, right? Like it's mass shootings. We are a joke to other countries because we can never agree on one goddamn thing. And everyone walks around like, well, it's personal freedom and this is the free country. So you can think whatever you want and do whatever you please and da 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 da. And I don't know why that's the voice, but that's what they all sound like to me. And
yeah, like, no. I was also laughing because this is a part of Inside, which I know you haven't seen.
Oh, but dang it.
Where Bo Burnham is, he's talking about, he's like, can anyone shut the fuck up about can any one person shut the fuck up, not have one opinion about one thing, can anyone? And I'm just like, yeah, it's like, no, we can't. That's no, we will all have complete opinions on every little thing. And even if those opinions don't make sense, they will still have them. That's it's gonna happen. If you're like, if you say the most basic thing, you're like, this is just a fact. Like, we don't even have that anymore, you guys. We don't have clean They created alternative facts. That is
alternative facts.
Determined. That's where it started. It's not where it started, but it's when it got really, really nutty. Yeah. Like, it's when somebody's out loud said alternative facts. That's when you're like, we don't have shit anymore. Like, I can't even approach you with a fact without somebody arguing with me.
Then also being just told that, like, your factual evidence is just your opinion or the interpretation of the factual evidence. It's crazy. It's absolute crazy madness, insanity things.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many,
our society really, really embraced, like, your truth, you know, like, speak your truth.
Yeah.
And I think we should reel that back. I think that, you know, while that sounds really like crunchy and accepting, I think that we need to just accept, you know, that there is also the truth. There is a capital D.
Yes.
And there is a capital T in truth.
Capital T. Two capital T's. Thank you so much.
Right.
And it reminds me of this thing that I saw. It was like an Instagram infographic when those were like popping up at every second of our lives. But it was a comic and it was about the tolerance paradox. And it made me think a lot. Zach, when you said like tolerance, you know, like, we're the most tolerant country, so we have the most intolerance. That's pretty much what it is, right? Like, we tolerate everybody's beliefs because we're like, well, we're tolerant, so you can do whatever you want to do because we're going to tolerate it. But, like, there's none of that. Like, there should be some things that we don't tolerate. And there are some things. Did Kayla just bring you lunch? Side note for just Kaylee Gushing Corner, because I love that woman so much. We've become this tolerant of everything and everybody. And sometimes you're just wrong. Sometimes people are just wrong. Sometimes your belief should not be tolerated. If you have, like, hateful and harmful beliefs or think, you know, like, there are some things that just should not be tolerated, in my personal opinion. And I'm going to move to Germany, I think.
Oh my gosh. Their language is so rough.
It is pretty aggressive. We could just move anywhere to Europe. Europe's pretty cool. Europe or Australia. You want to know a fun fact? Australia had one mass shooting, and they've never had one again. You want to know why? Because they banned guns.
Yeah. I mean, no, Australia doesn't fuck around with guns. But also,
they were like, cool.
I don't know. I want to travel Europe more because I know they're racist there too, you know? And I'm like,
definitely.
I'm like outwardly black, you know? There's no question.
You're black? What?
There's no hiding it. There is no, like, she might be something else, you know? Like, no, I'm just a black American woman. And just, so I just want to, there are places in Europe where that's not going to be great for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so I want to find the one where it is. Or maybe I'll go to Central America. I mean, they've got colorism stuff, though, too. So I got to figure that out. It's just, you know, being brown is hard in the world.
Mars.
I want to have this conversation should be an entire episode because I think it'd be really interesting to do a deep dive with Alaska.
Into colorism.
And one of the things I've seen a lot on reality TV shows, because I watch a lot of them, is when there's traditionally these reality shows are women. So I'm going to say, you know, when a black woman asks a white woman if they see color.
They do that on reality show. Of course they do that on reality.
And then the woman goes, I don't see color. I'm colorblind.
Right. I don't see color. I'm colorblind. And in a way of being like, no, I don't care about the color of your skin. Right. Sure. That's like what they're saying. Yet we all know, if we're just talking about the world does care about the color of your skin.
Correct.
And it can be that it's not, and even if from my perspective as a white man, you go to, you mentioned Central America, right? You said Central America?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Colorism being there. You go to all over the world, you will have colorism.
Yeah.
I think it's a fascinating topic. I'd love to chat about it.
Whereas sometimes, like in some places, I mean, it's still a version of colorism, but it becomes like a fetishism of like you go there, that place and you have dark skin and they're just like I met a man from a small village outside of Belgium, a small village outside of Belgium. I met him on a plane and it was the most creepy plane ride I've ever had. Because he was just like, your skin. I've never, like, it's so beautiful. Can I touch it? No.
Oh, my God, sir, no.
And then he was just like, I
That's when you ring the help button. You ring the help button.
He was like, I want to take you back to, he kept talking to me about how he wanted to take me back to his village and how they would like worship me there. Like I would be like queen. And it was just like,
have you written this all down? Because this is an amazing start to a horror film. Like the cold open to a horror film.
It's like Get Out. It's this like Get
incredible.
Out in Finland.
Wait a minute. Let's do that.
I have not written this down. I should. And the flight attendant did keep coming by to like check in because she like felt that something weird was happening. And I was just like, you know, like, and he was giant. You know, he's this giant village man. He's this giant Belgian village man.
that's the name of the horror movie.
And he's not the giant thing.
Village man.
He's like not bad looking, but he's just weird. And creepy. It's just, yeah. And so in the end, he like asks for my number. And I'm like gonna give him a fake number, but then I'm terrified that he's gonna test it like before I leave. And so I give him my real number and he does test it. I was right.
Oh my God.
As soon as we landed and got within cell service, he like calls to make sure that my phone rings. And so that he can see that he got my real number.
Casey,
did you then block that number? And also, you could have said absolute no. I will not be giving you my phone number, sir.
Of course.
No.
You guys, I was like 18. I was just a child
I thought this was like on your last flight and I was like,
oh no. Me of today would have been like, okay, of all, you need to move. Second, everyone's going to have to change. The plane has to change.
Change the plane out. I don't want this plane.
Whole new plane.
I don't want this plane. Man can stay on this plane.
The me of today would be a lot more like, I still would try not to be rude, but I would not have let it go that far as to make it the whole flight. But I was a teenager. And
did he ever call you again?
He called me. Yeah, he did call me. He left me a voicemail, which I always wish I would have saved. Because this story, I'm sure I blocked his number. Yeah, I didn't call him back. But he was just like, hey, cause he kept saying that our meeting was, he didn't use the word kismet, but that's kind of how he was trying to make it sound. Like he was supposed to meet me and we were supposed to have this whole magical relationship, whatever. And so his voicemail was like, hi, this is whatever the fuck his name was. You met me on a magical plane ride and I just want to know if I can take you out next time that I'm in town and da, da, da. Yeah, it was. Anyway, so
has really taken a turn and I am shook by this story.
Anyway, yeah, the point is, even if it's not like the racism thing, like the thing where they call me names and don't want me to sit in their restaurants, it could be this thing where I think he's going to skin me and hang it up.
That or some other thing.
Or just force me to have
a lot of really
weird
scary things
brown village children for him to worship. I don't know. It was super weird.
Yeah. That's so strange.
And so traveling, all that to say, traveling is complicated. Figuring out where
feels
safe to go.
Yeah. That's totally fair.
Have you ever traveled to, have you ever been to Africa by chance?
I haven't. And I want to go so bad. I have not.
Same.
Yeah.
I really want to go to Egypt. I want to see those
pyramids. I'm dying to go to Egypt
and Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm. I want to go to Israel. I want to go to Jerusalem for sure.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Greece. I want to go to all the historical, whatevers. But I do want to go to Africa because that is, obviously one of the places where I'm like, oh, my skin will make sense here. No one's going to think I'm strange.
in my brain, I was like, is Israel in Africa? Like, I, like my brain, like I was just like,
oh, no, I was jumping like, around. Sorry.
No, I got it. I was in it. I was there. I was there for you. Like, so, but I was just like, wait, no, it's not. I know it's not. I know it in my head, but I second guessed it. I second guessed it for a second. I was like, yeah. Then you said Greece, and I was like, no way, Greece. You guys, I'm really smart. I swear.
No, you are. You are. I jumped. It was not
jumping around, jumping around, jumping around to all the places.
But I do. Yeah. I want to travel a ton and just see what that's like. Like I remember my friend going to Italy and being shy, and he is a light skinned black man, and he was like, "Yo, they're racist as fuck out here." He experienced a lot of racism, and that it made me so sad because Italy has been always on my bucket list as one of the places I think will be one of my favorite places to go. And I was like, oh shit, well, if he's having that experience, it's gonna be rough for me.
Yeah. If you want to, I mean, it's sad to think about this, but like, it's pretty FIFA, right? The soccer governing body. They have a really big issue around the world with racism.
Yeah.
Usually towards people of color and then people who are Muslim, right? Those are the two big ones that get targeted the most. And you can probably do a whole dissertation on that with regard to like what countries are the most racist based on the chants in soccer games.
Yeah.
And it's bad. It's bad because players, of course, are from all over the world. You have American players that are all sorts of different, you know, nationalities or skin types, right, et cetera, going to, let alone people from Africa that has amazing soccer talent that's traveling all over the world to play, like actual, like, you know, born in Nigeria or Senegal, like some great, incredible talent of soccer. And it just spans the globe from where they can play. And it's pretty sad. And like players crying, walking off the field crying, and like their team, like having to like, you know, so what they've started to do, and this, by the way, Mexico has a problem with this. The Mexican fans do this a lot. And again, Mexican fans, we're talking a small percentage at a game. This is not 100% of the fans there. This is not the country, but this is a small percentage. But they started to actually make teams forfeit. If they're doing the chants in the crowd, they will give a warning. And if you continue the crowd, you will lose automatically, period.
That's amazing.
That's good.
They should.
That's
and, that, good. And see, that's the intolerant. That's the type of intolerance we need toward racism, toward bigotry, toward any sort of prejudice. You just don't. There is a difference in being a free nation and being a nation of hate. Like you just, you don't have to. Because if we are a nation of hate, then the nation is not free. It does not. It becomes not free and not safe for certain groups of people. So, yeah, that's brilliant. It, that makes me really happy to hear that that exists. And I wish that there were more of that.
Right. Well, think about it. If you're a soccer player, you can't leave. If you're getting chanted at, you can't just walk out of the situation that you could.
You have to stay.
You have to stay and be subjected to that. So anyway, I think that's awful, Casey. I hate hearing that you have to think about where to travel because of that. And that's, I mean, I get to be, I'm Jewish, but it's hidden underneath my whiteness. People don't, I'm not Orthodox, so I don't have very distinguishable.
I had this conversation with you, Paige, when you were here, where I was just like, white people being racist against Jewish people doesn't make sense to me because half the time in America, how do you know?
How do you know?
Like, how do you know?
I don't know.
Could be cousins.
Tell ya.
Like,
go watch the movie.
We are actually cousins.
Go watch School Ties. Go watch School Ties. It's one of my favorite Brendan Fraser movies. The cast is absurd. It's so good. It's like white boys in the 90s who are all now like mega stars. Like it's like every
Fun.
Like it's just like the cast.
But what does it have to do with this? Is it like talking about
Brendan Fraser plays a quarterback who transfers to this like Christian or Catholic school, but he's Jewish. And they don't know he's Jewish. Because of course he's some handsome 6'3" star and he keeps it, he keeps it hidden. And so they all make jokes about Jews and he just kind of takes it and like they wouldn't know. And then of course you got a lot. For me, I love it because look, you know, as a small little tribe of Jewish people, our athleticism has never been like really like, you know, not like, we don't have like, oh yeah, well we, you know, it's like, okay. Like, you know, we're just whatever. So like this movie is like great for someone like me. It's like, yeah, like this star, handsome. Of course, Brendan Fraser, I don't think he's even Jewish. actually. Is he Jewish? But anyway, the point is, he's playing a Jewish kid.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, so, if your prejudice is so, it's such that, like, you need to ask for their lineage
in order to decide what your prejudice against them,
then that is the dumbest thing. Like,
yeah.
At least mine, not that I'm taking up for, like, racist, but at least it's on site. Like, at least there's something.
No, but I think yours is, I think what you're saying is even more ridiculous to think that, like, someone's physical appearance is more important than what they actually think or believe.
I mean, it's true, but even, that's but being even more Jewish, absurd, right? Even if, like, you don't, but being Jewish then, like, after, yes, initially it was about belief, but some Jews aren't even practicing Jewish people, but would still be discriminated against if somebody was against Jews because you have, your bloodline is Jew. You know, it's both, like.
Sure, but, like, I'm just saying, like, imagine being like, most important things to me are guns, God, and no taxes. And someone's like, I feel the same way. But you have black skin, so no. I
can't but you're black.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. So I mean, it's all dumb. It's all really stupid. But if your cousin can literally look like the person that you're prejudiced against, I'm very confused. Yeah. I'm confused.
I have so many questions. Like, I have so many questions.
What actually your makes cousin you could not always. Like them? Your cousin literally could always.
I've always,
since I was a kid, I was confused about this because I grew up with a lot of Jewish people and they would always talk about, like, the prejudices against them. Mm-hmm. And I would literally be like, which one of you is Jewish?
Right.
Like, why?
And well, you grew up with who not liking you? Him? I thought you were brothers. This motherfucker?
two final notes on this. One is every single immigrant group that came to America, no matter who they were discriminated against. The Irish, the Italians. Don't forget, the Italians were called very bad words too.
Oh, yeah, they were.
So, and these are people, again, that I would say today I could not distinguish an Italian American from the racist ancestor version of the person that would, you know, because it's like, I don't really have that. But then I guess you could, right? Because maybe there weren't a lot of people with black hair. I don't know.
What did the world look like before the Italians got here?
There was something that was much easier. Yeah, like it was easier for them to tell because they wore whatever. I get it.
That is actually a really good point. Like, they're just like, some one person walks off the boat with like red hair and they're like, Irish.
Yeah, I know.
Of course, I get it. Language. Okay, sure. It's easier because there was like an accent thing. Now it's much harder. But that to me is always like really sad to think this country's like literally been racist for everybody ever, no matter what. It's just like awful.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just humans. I think humans are
racist. We're just prejudiced against anything that's different and anything that is that you – it's fear. It's like a fear of, I don't know you and I don't know what you believe and I don't agree or whatever. So I have to be scared of you and I have to hate you and I have to kill you and whatever, suppress you, oppress you, enslave you.
Yeah. Yep. The other note is my parents, they grew up in Seattle in my dad was born in 1945, mom 1950. So they're young kids in my mom's story is 1955 or 50s, let's say. And she remembers kids her age, when they found out that she was Jewish, they were wondering where her horns were. They were touching her head, asking where her horns were, because they were brought up thinking that Jews had horns because they were like, you know, devil worshipers, etc.
Oh my God.
That reminds me of this one thing. So I was listening to a podcast and I just thought that this guy made this really good point, and he was talking about critical race theory, not to, you know, keep, you know, killing this dead horse. But somebody said people who are against critical race theory are people who say the N-word at home and don't want their children to be taught that they're bad.
Yeah.
That their parents are bad. And I mean, that's just like your mom's story. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, just spread. I can't.
Yep.
I can't.
Yeah. What the fuck? That's ridiculous. And it's so, so sad.
I take it back. Everything I said about Mars, I'm coming with you.
Thank you. See? Safety on Mars.
Sounds better and better,
assuming that
baby.
The aliens aren't racist.
I feel like racism is below. It's like beneath alien life.
Yeah, right.
You know? Like, I feel like they're above us. Like, they're just better.
Yeah, they're just like looking, and they're like, "What are you guys arguing about?" That's what I think the aliens are doing. So.
Yeah. They're like, the world's gonna end in 2 years. You guys want to figure that out? No. Okay. It's fine. Yeah. We'll just be here.
Oh, just
waiting for you to explode.
Oh, man. Anyway. And with that, on that cheery note, let's wrap it up with, I don't know, you guys give us a wrap-up thing this week. I don't have one. What should we wrap up on? What have we not done in a while?
Shout-outs.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. This week I'm going to be a simp and shout out my boyfriend because it's his birthday on Sunday.
Oh my gosh. So,
happy early birthday to Mason. We're going to have fun.
Yay.
Yay.
Little nugget. Happy birthday, Mason.
I want to shout out to Casey's boyfriend, Mason, as well. Happy early birthday. Love you, man.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Mason. I'm going to shout out, and I know I've already done this once on the podcast, but I am shouting out Kaylee Mann right
now. Shout her
out. That woman, seriously, helps me so much all the time. Like, we talk about my eating habits. We talk about my life goals. I'm starting this new job, and she just has such a good, way of just making me always feel like I know what I'm doing, and like I'm just some like go-getting gal, and it's just really helpful, and I can't thank her enough. I also tried to pay her and she wouldn't let me, and I was like, well, feels like you're doing a lot of work for me, Kaylee.
Well, she loves you so much too, so don't even.
I am truly mutual. Just obsessed. But seriously, you guys, get yourself a person, like a coach, a person that you can be like, I'm having a trouble with this, and this is, you know, I want to do this. Like, I was so excited for my new job, and I was like, I'm going to start, I'm going to like go to the gym every single morning before, and she was like, I love that energy. Let's reel it back a little bit and make it a manageable goal, and then we'll build on top of that, because your life is going to flip upside down for the next 2 months, and you're not going to be like raring to go to the gym at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like, it's just nice to have a person like that. She's so, so supportive and sweet and an angel. And I can't say nice enough things about her. And we also just realized we've never met in person the last time we talked. And I was like, devastated.
So, yeah. I was listening to you gush about Kaylee, and I was just marveling at like how well my worlds like have just bled into each other. Like the fact
they have.
It's so beautiful, and it makes me so happy every time I think about it, because you're all just the best people. So the fact that like we were able to create some connective tissue through Blackboard that made us all family is just, it just makes my heart go pitter patter. So shout out to us.
Yes, shout out to us. I love a shout out to us.
Yeah. All right. And with that, thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys have people that you're really happy to be connected to, and hug them today and tell them you love them. And thank you so much for listening. And as usual, like, rate, comment, subscribe, and share. And we'll see you next week.
Ciao. Oh my gosh.
Bye.
See you later, alligator.